Well, I think it's good to see each and everyone out here tonight. Tonight, I'd like to take a little bit of time to talk to you about, we're going to talk about the Spirit and the Word. Everyone always has their ideas about the Spirit, and we, the Church of Christ, we don't even want to talk about the Spirit, so we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight.
All right.
But very interesting, it was to me anyway, to study of it, and hope it will be to you, and hope it will answer some questions you may have, and hopefully if it stirs up any questions, you can ask Emerson, because he knows. Just kidding. If there's any way that I can answer anything, I'll be more glad to. But anyways, we'll get started. The gospel is the instrument which the Spirit uses to, in His work of conversion, to help to bring people to the Lord. And I know you'll probably get tired of hearing it before the night's over with, but we're going to talk a whole lot about the Word. But in John chapter 3 and verse 3, it talks about, it says that a man cannot see the kingdom of God in verse 3 there unless he's born again. And in verse 5, it says, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he must be born again. That's a process. It's a thing that's going on there. In James chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So the word is very active, and in the means, if you would, whereby that the Spirit accomplishes things. Now, some people believe that that the Spirit is some kind of miraculous thing, and we know that in the proving of the gospel that it had its purpose, its function there, and it was. And we probably would all agree that the Spirit has a purpose in today, or in conversion. It's not dead, like some people would contend that it is, or seemingly act like it is, or like I said earlier, maybe you just bury your head in the sand about it and don't want to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is it has its purpose today. But the point that I'd like you to get more than anything is that the Spirit does not work independently of the Word. Okay? That's a big issue that you got. Now, and you can never go wrong in your life, or in the things you say and the things that you do and the way you live your life, if you go by the proper standard, right? God's Word is that proper standard then, right?
Amen.
And so if we stick to that, we'll see as we go through, hopefully you'll see the importance of the Word of God, with just some of the things that it does being the means whereby, and the gospel that we'll be talking about here. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, it says, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So you're begotten. That's how you be born again in a sense. In 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, being a born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, something that I'd want my trust put in would be something that would live forever and ever, wouldn't you? Something that would, you know, Jesus even said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. So you know, the fact of the matter is I want to be trusting in something that's going to be good for me when all this is gone, right?
Amen.
So if we put our trust in the Word of God, if we're going by those things, then how can we go wrong? It's impossible, right?
Amen.
We will be doing what's right. And is one born again by the Spirit, the question is asked. Yes. Not by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, but rather the new birth is effected through truth. That is, by hearing and obeying the inspired message, the gospel of Christ. When an act is said to have been performed by a person, by a certain instrument, it is clearly understood that the person did the act, but used the instrument as a means. Well, that's how the Holy Spirit accomplishes what it does, through the Word. The Word is the means, the gospel, if you would, is the means by which the Holy Spirit saves your soul and my soul. That is a direct operation there. It's not some miraculous thing that's going on, though. As a matter of fact, it's just good common sense, ain't it? Easy to understand. Don't make it into something. It's not, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to things we don't understand in the Bible to be like that with, but let's just look at it from a logical point of view, right? We're saying it's not accomplished itself by, through the words, this means, this instrument, and accomplishing that, then it makes it easy for me to understand. I get that perfectly, don't you? I hope that I put it in a way where you'll get that too. One must be quickened. Well, how is a sinner quickened or made alive? How does that happen? He's quickened by the Word. This is In Psalms 119 and verse 50 it says, "This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." In Psalms 119 and 93 it says, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." And you'll say, "Well, you use an Old Testament to prove that." Well, we'll use the New too. How about that? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 it says, "And you he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." So it's the word. It's through the word of God. It's not through my word. It's through God's word, right, that it happens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, "The Spirit gives life." How does the Spirit give life? Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." John chapter 6 and verse 63. "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life."
Amen.
So the Spirit gives life through words, right? God's words too. Not just my words, not just anybody's words, but that's how it is brought about. Through God's word. One must be converted. How can somebody be converted? By the perfect law, God's word. In Psalms 119 verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." So it's the law. It's the law of the Lord. It's the word. One must be saved by the word. James 1 verse 21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." There it is. The engrafted word. That word planted within you. It causes you to be obedient to God. It causes you to give up your will and surrender your will to His will. And that's what's able to save your soul. Does it sound like a real complicated thing then? It's not a real hard thing to understand either. You know, well, why is there so much bickering and differences of opinion then? I conclude that if you go by the Word, we'll have the same opinion. If you study the Word, you seek out the Word, you have an open mind toward what God says, instead of, like I got on to talking about a little bit last time, instead of just going there to prove your points, or me going there to prove my points in an argument, go to God's Word with an open mind so that you understand what God says. Don't go already there with a preconceived idea and pick out a few scriptures out of context that backs up what you say. Take all the scriptures into account.
Amen.
And see what it says, and you'll truly understand. And if you don't, pray and ask God to give you understanding and give you knowledge and wisdom and help you.
Amen.
You know, I was impressed by, and I used this last time, but Brother Finley said that on his missionary trip that one of the times they did the invitation, the lady just got up and come walking down to the front. And they said, "Well, what do you need, you know?" And she said, "I just want to understand the Word of God better." That's pretty awesome, man. Wow. You ever seen anybody come down when the invitation is given because they want to understand the Word of God better? He had a picture of her sitting out there later on, out there reading the Bible, trying to understand it. There you go. There you go. Ask God to help him. Then do your part. Get it in and dig and learn, and you will understand. God wants you to know. He wants you to understand. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, Cornelius was told to send for Peter. He said, "Now, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy household shall be saved?" There you go. You want to know how to be saved? What do? You get in the scriptures and you see what people ask and what people told them, right? You're asking the same question. You get the same answer then, don't you? You don't just take part of it. You don't just take a few places where it says maybe what you want it to say. And if you did, if you wanted to just pull a few out, you can make it sound like about any doctrine that you hear, can you? But if you take every one and consider God's Word don't contradict itself. Never does. It's the best thing to prove what is true is that it'll line up perfectly in all cases. Sometimes when we're missing it, it might be a translation problem. Maybe when it's converted over into this old, the old English, and it's a hard language sometimes. Sometimes we need to dig a little deeper and see what it said maybe in other versions, or maybe see what words have been added in. You know, if we ever have words, have scriptures that seem to contradict themselves, we're not getting something. And that's when we need to dig deeper. And that's when we need to study the rest of the, get to, like Paul Harvey, you say, the rest of the story. And then it'll all line up perfectly. One must be enlightened. Well, how are they enlightened? Through the Word. When Psalms 119 and 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And have you ever walked in the night in the darkness where you couldn't see nothing? I mean, absolutely nothing. It was so black, you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. You know, that's really how we are without the Word of God.
Amen.
We can't see nothing. We don't know where to go. You know, sometimes we'll end up in situations where we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to live. We don't know what to tell someone. You know what we need to do then, don't you? We need to tell them what God's Word says. We need to pull out some of it for ourselves so we can see. If we've got that Word of God being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, you know what? We should always know where to go and what to say and what to tell someone else, because we've got the thing so we can tell them what is right, don't we? We're thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Am I right? Yeah, no doubt. We are. We have whatever we need that tells us how to live and what's best for us and how we can go to heaven and how other people can go to heaven too if they have a sincere heart and they want to know what the truth is. We need to be able to tell. In Psalms 119 and 130 it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple." Wow, that ain't includes me then, don't it? Gives me some understanding too, y'all. But that's it. It enlightens us. The Word gives us light. It gives us a way to see. It gives us guidance. And then it even gives understanding to the simple. Have you ever thought about it? God's made this perfect plan where it's good for everyone. It don't matter how smart you are. You don't have to pass no test. It don't matter where you're from and what you did. The Lord don't care. It comes to everyone, all men and women the same. You're all equal in the kingdom of the Lord. Too. Ain't that an awesome thing? In this life, there's no way for it to be totally, you'd be totally equal with everybody. We all think different. We look at things different. We come from different places. We've been affected by different things. But with the gospel of Jesus Christ and being a child of His, we're all the same. Ain't that an awesome thing? I can be dumb as a rock. Sometimes I probably am. I could be the brightest genius you ever seen, which I'm not. But if I was, it's the same. See, we're all equal. It's an equal playing field. If I can understand God's Word and obey God's Word and then take and apply it in my life and live it in there, I got it made. I'm considered a wise man, as a matter of fact, or a wise lady if you take it and do that type of thing. Psalms 19 and verse 8, it says, "The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes." It makes us what we can see. I tell you what, sometimes we need to be made where we can see, don't you know it? Sometimes we can't see, you know? We sing that old song, don't we? "I was once blind, but now I see." We need to keep on seeing too. But we keep putting that Word in there, it'll keep on lighting that path and we'll be able to see. And you know what? There are other people around that will affect too. It'll help them that same way if we're there to dish it out and to have it for them and to have the answer ready. To always, everyone, to give account for the faith that we have in us to say, "Look, here's why, man." Because it works. It works all the time. It works every time. It's not something that sometimes it doesn't and sometimes it don't. It accomplishes what God sent it out to do. That's something nice to be sure on. When you stand before God one day, don't you want to be standing on something firm like that? I sure do. You know, I always like having the rules too if I'm going to be playing a game, right, too. I've got that too. These are the words whereby we'll be judged one day. This is the standard. Well, what if somebody says, "Well, what if I don't believe that?" Well, it don't change it none. Okay. Just because you don't believe it, don't change it any. The atheist, he's going to be judged by this standard just like me and you are. The people who reject God's Word is going to be judged just like me and you are. And we as Christians, after we have obeyed, we're going to be judged according to how we lived our life since we've become a Christian. Man, ain't that a sobering thought? But this is the standard. It's nice to have the rules when we do know. We do know if we're doing right or if we're not doing right. And then we need to line up with God's Word every time if we're not, for sure. John chapter 20, verses 30. I skipped ahead of myself, I'm sorry. "To be saved, one must have faith." How do we have faith? We know in Romans 10 and 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Goes back to the Word, don't it? It points you right back to that same place every time, don't it? All kinds of things. Your faith comes from that. Everything goes back to God's Word. It's said to be the means whereby it is. Now in John 20 and chapter 30, or 20, chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31, skips down the end of the way, it says, "But these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through His name. Wow. That's a pretty important thing, isn't it? You might believe, and in this believing you might have life. You might believe that Jesus is who He said He was, the Christ, the Son of the living God. This one that Jesus said when the dove ascended down, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Why was he well pleased with Jesus, reckon? Because Jesus submitted His will to God's will and did exactly what He said for Him to do. He accomplished the purpose. When is He pleased with us? When we're the same way. When we're absolutely obedient to God's Word, God's will, we're doing the very best we can. And that don't mean we ain't going to fall short, because I fall short of God's glory all the time. Not that I want to. I hate it when I do. But the Lord knows I got a good, clear conscience. I'm doing the best I can. And you know what? You stand justified before God then. I ain't saying I ain't got a lot of room for improvement, because I do. And every one of us do. We're on that growing curve, each and every one of us. We're in different places, but we all stand in need and room for improvement. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 7, it says, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe it." God made a choice that we're by His mouth, specifically, that the word of the gospel, they should hear it. And they believe it. Well, is this just saying, I just believe in God? Is that good enough? Is that okay? No. Because the demons, they believe and they tremble, don't they? They're afraid, ain't they? You think they're going to be in heaven? Absolutely not. What kind of believing is this? You may have heard me say it before, but what did Philip tell the eunuch? He said, "Here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" What did he tell him? "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." That's a believing with every bit of your heart, soul, mind, and body that this is true. Unto the point to where I'm saying, I'm willing to be obedient in your will. Jesus, standing there in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying. What did He pray? "I know I'm about to be crucified," which is the most heinous, awfulest thing, awfulest way you could die. He knows it's going to happen. What did He say? He said, "Let this cup pass from me." But the last part's what I want to focus on. "Not my will be done, but thy will be done."
Amen.
Jesus submitted His will to His Father and said, "I'm going to do exactly what you sent me here for." Exactly what you said. He asked for these things, and there's nothing wrong with us asking sometimes, even though we might know that it can't happen. That's the very purpose Jesus is sent there. You might look at that and say, "Is that foolish?" No, it's not. He was human just like we are. Sometimes we're put in positions where I'm not strong enough to do this, Lord. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your strength. Please help me to do what you want me to do. And He's there for us, and He will. And He answers our prayers. And we accomplish exactly what. We don't fall under the load. We're not caused to be stumbled up and fall. The devil don't trip us up. We're able to accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish. One must be free. How do you become free? In John chapter 8 and verse 32 it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know what? If Jesus died that you be free, you know what? You're free indeed. He breaks all the bounds and all the ties. That's what He showed when by Him dying and Him raising again on the third day, that He was both Christ and Lord and King. That He had all power and authority was given, even over death, even over the grave, even over everything. He was who He said He was. Why do we go around sometime being bound by sin? Jesus died, I can be free. You too. And we go around and we allow the devil to have a reins upon us or a place to stay within our lives when it should not be. Jesus died that we be free. We cast off that old yoke and don't have His on us anymore because we belong to Him. Lending ourselves to be instruments of righteousness rather than of unrighteousness. Or being used in that sense anymore. One must be called. Well, how are they called? By the gospel. In the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14 it says, "Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." You're called by it. You know, In John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45 it says, except the Father draw him, it is written in the prophets, and that they shall be child of God, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me, except the Father draw him. Well, sometimes, haven't you heard people say, well, they must not have been drawn in. Like it's some kind of miraculous thing, or maybe putting it back on God. Well, God didn't do this special, miraculous thing of drawing someone. But that ain't it, is it? That's not how it happens, is it? We're drawn, just like this verse right here said, we're drawn by teaching and by learning. We hear God's Word and we learn God's Word of Him. Learning and teaching and listening to God's Word is how we are drawn. That's exactly what that verse says too. Every man therefore that hath learned and hath heard of the Father cometh unto me. Those who listen and those who learn. The Word draws them in. It's not no special miraculous thing. How are we cleansed and sanctified? John chapter 15 verse 3 says that we are clean through the Word. And we're sanctified by the Word. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, the Bible also teaches that a person is sanctified by the Spirit. The Spirit sanctifies through the Word and never apart from it. John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That's how you're sanctified, through His Word. He has this perfect plan. We must be purified. Well, how are we? Goes back to that a while ago. Obeying the truth. Doing what God said for you to do. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. How about that? You're the one doing this thing, but it's God made to where everything's possible. But it's dependent upon you. Obey. God's not going to make nobody. You could take this drawing thing and say, well, God can just draw them in. Well, no, it's not. We have free will. God loved us so much He gave us free will. Different than anything else. Different than anyone else. We have free will as being a human being, and it's up to us to choose to be obedient. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John chapter 14, 15. If you love me, you'll do the things I said for you to do. After one becomes a child of God, he needs food and to become strong in the Lord's family. How does this happen? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow hereby. 1 Timothy 4 and verses 13 and 15, down the verse it says, give attendance to reading and meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. Well, we probably don't have no problem sometimes about reading the Word, do we? We probably even meditate on it a little bit. We probably think about it on it and then ponder in our minds a little bit on it. But the problem we have sometimes is giving ourselves wholly to it. Ain't that right? We have that old stubborn, fleshly man about us, don't we? And we don't want to do what God said for us to do. Ain't that right? That's the fact. This is where we miss the boat right here. I can read and study till I know this thing backwards and forwards probably. Well, it wouldn't happen, but if it did, I might know as good as anybody knows it, right? But the fact of the matter, if I'm not willing to give myself wholly to it, it's a waste. I'm nothing. It profiteth me nothing. So we must be willing to give our holy to it. Give ourselves to it. That's how come when the Lord's talking about when they condensed down the Ten Commandments, what would it say, those two commandments that it all rested upon? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That means you've given yourself wholly to Him, right? That means you've said, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, Lord. No matter what it is. I don't know what I'm asking for, but I know the price at the end's worth it. That's what I'm saying. Right? I don't know what I'll have to go through. You as Christians don't know what you have to go through. Them early Christians were crucified upside down, sawn asunder, stoned. Paul said he was stoned, thrown out for dead, beat a bunch of times, shipwrecked. You name it. But he didn't ever falter, did he? He knew the prize at the end was worth whatever he was going to go through here. And that's the way we got to be too. I don't know what I'm going to have to go through here, Lord. But I'm going to be a willing vessel. And I'm going to surrender my will to you. And I'm going to be obedient unto you, Lord. I'm going to do the things you asked me to do. When we get that point, you know what? It's a whole lot easier.
We're going to make it too. We're going to make it into heaven if we got that kind of attitude and we keep that kind of attitude. Because we're not going to let the Lord down then. He did all these things that we might be saved and that we could have this way of being redeemed and reconciled back to God. And we got to do our part. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Do what the Lord said for us to do. In the final day there's going to be a reckoning of all people that will be judged. How are they going to be judged? Talked about it a little earlier, didn't we? By the Word of God. You're going to be judged just like I am by it.
Amen.
I'm going to be judged just like you are by it. And even people who don't believe it, they're going to be judged the same too. And even people says that I don't even believe in God, a complete atheist, they're going to be judged by it too. Because me and you or anyone else not believing, the truth don't change the truth any. The truth's still the truth, ain't it? That's how come His Word's going to stand forever and ever, ain't it? When the heavens and the earth pass away, His Word's going to stand forever. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one who judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days." That's how it's going to be. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelations chapter 20. We're going to read those verses and then we'll be done. 20. We're going to read 12. "Then I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." And this is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is how it's going to be one day. This is the way it's going to be. People tell me, "Oh, you're one of them who believes that you got to work your way into heaven." No, absolutely, I don't believe. But I do see where work is important, don't you? Seems to be that there's a little book being compiled about Darrell Kelly. And I'm going to be judged according to standard one day. And I'm going to give an account to the Lord why I didn't do what He said for me to do. Or I'm going to give an account to Him for doing wrong. Whatever, according to the standard. What each and every one of us is going to do. And this last scenario is when I want to make sure that my name is found in that book of life.
Amen.
Because I don't think I can stand an eternity in that lake of fire burning forever and ever for you. And that's the choice that we face today. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of the Lord and you'd like to become one, I'll do anything I can to make sure you have opportunity. Please respond. This is not my invitation. This is the Lord's. Come as the song has been coming.
Caring so, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God?